Welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Cliff Stoll was an astronomer turned systems manager at Lawrence Berkeley Lab when a 75-cent accounting error alerted him to the presence of an unauthorized user on his system. The hacker's code name was Hunter, a mysterious invader who managed to break into U.S. computer systems and steal sensitive military and security information. Stoll began a one-man hunt of his own, spying on the spy. It was a dangerous game of deception, broken codes, satellites, and missile bases. A one-man sting operation that finally gained the attention of the CIA and ultimately trapped an international spy ring fueled by cash, cocaine, and the KGB. Today's Reader's Advisory is The Cuckoo's Egg by Clifford Stoll. The Cuckoo's Egg is a memoir from the very early days of the internet. While it gets a little repetitive in the middle, this is a non-fiction techno-thriller that's very easy to read. While it does use a lot of computer jargon, the action is easy to follow by any layperson too. Readers may also enjoy The Born Initiative by Eric von Lusbader. General Boris Karpov, head of the feared Russian FSB, is dead. But Karpov has reached out from the grave with an unstoppable cyber operation he conceived before his murder, aimed at the heart of the United States, a way to steal the president's nuclear launch codes. Who has taken over the operation? Karpov trusted only one man, Jason Bourne. But can Bourne be working against his own country? The U.S. government is convinced of his treason and is doing everything in its power to kill him. Flushed from cover and gravely wounded, Bourne's only hope is to join forces with his bitterest enemy, a powerful Somali terrorist named Kairi, and his protege, the Angel Maker. If he hopes to survive, Bourne has no choice but to unravel the mystery of Karpov's last legacy, a weaponized code that may bring about the unthinkable, a violent end to America. Or Warriors by Ted Bell. British counterspy Lord Alexander Hawke must rescue a captured American scientist and catch a villainous megalomaniac, a man obsessed with horrifying experiments in state-of-the-art warfare. On the streets of Washington, D.C., a brilliant scientist in the high-tech military industry, the brains behind a revolutionary fighter aircraft prototype in development by the Pentagon, is snatched by masked thugs, along with his wife and children, and disappears without a trace. Now, 5 years later, an elderly professor at Cambridge University has been murdered, a victim of bizarre ancient Chinese torture methods. Alex Hawks teams up with former Chief Inspector Ambrose Congreve, his Scotland Yard colleague and friend, to find the killer, but this death is merely the opening gambit in a tense and lethal game of geopolitical brinksmanship. In the United States, the president's behavior has many questioning his fitness for leadership. Is his mental health deteriorating, or is there something far more sinister at work? The answer is crucial, for hostilities are rapidly escalating among China, North Korea, and the United States. At a somber state funeral in Arlington Cemetery, an unmanned drone twice the size of a twin-engine Cessna dives out of the sky and wreaks chaos on a shocked crowd of military and civilian dignitaries. In the East China Sea, a North Korean patrol crew murders 4 sailors aboard a U.S. Navy vessel. Then China launches vastly advanced fighter jets and a mega-submarine far more sophisticated than any seen before, military technology that might leapfrog everything the U.S. and Great Britain now possess. With the situation edging closer and closer to the yawning abyss, Hawke must pull off his most daring mission yet, infiltrate enemy territory and neutralize their advantage, or risk the outbreak of World War III. Or Citadel of Fear by Don Pendleton. America's elite black ops team, Stony Man Farm, is dedicated to protecting the innocent. Acting on orders of the president, these soldiers and cybertechs are the nation's best defense against violence and terror across the globe. Adding insult to injury, terrorists are discovered laundering money through Liberty City, an economic free zone in Grenada, sending ABLE team undercover to follow the money trail. It doesn't take long to discover the Free City has provided a haven for building homemade ballistic missiles. Phoenix Force arrives just in time to provide backup, but the missiles have already been shipped to a rogue group with their sights disturbingly set on the California coast. Both teams must join forces to avert disaster, because failure could mean the death of the president and thousands of Americans. Bonus segment. My personal favorite Goodreads list the cuckoo's nest is on is nests, dens, layers, holes, lodges, sets. Happy reading, everyone. This month's library tidbit comes to us from Michael, and it's all about the first anniversary of the bookmobile.
Hello, I'm Michael Anderson, and I'm the library assistant too for the bookmobile, and I also work in community outreach. I'm coming on today to talk about the one-year anniversary of the bookmobile. It was a big year in terms of the bookmobile, and just since the statistics I have from November, in terms of the stops and special events, we've done over 404 stops. We've had 7,293 people attend and come to visit the bookmobile, and we've had 12,217 checkouts, and we've made 530 library cards. In terms of the bookmobile, we go to so many different places. We go to assisted living facilities, apartment complexes, after-school care programs, pre-K classes, as well as several public stops, including Heritage Village and Tijuana Flats on Belcher Road in East Bay. This year has been more successful than anyone had ever hoped. In April, we received the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council's Future of the Region Award for Community Service. And we have done so much and helped so many different people throughout this year. When people ask me about the bookmobile, the number one thing they're most curious about is what the bookmobile does. What the bookmobile does is that it brings library materials to different stops in the community, whether that is large print fiction, regular print, nonfiction, audiobooks, DVDs, as well as information about all the different services we have, whether it's classes and events or services provided by the PPLC, such as the Talking Books Library. How you can use the bookmobile is that you can just visit anytime we go to a public stop. We can make you a library card, or we can use the one you currently have. Certain stops, such as assisted living facilities, we have set up an arrangement so that those individuals that live at the facility do not need a library card and that we can check out directly to the facility. This is a really important service that we do, especially for memory care facilities, where many people are unable to bring the proper documentation or just can't fill out the entire form to get a library card. We really want to make sure that using the bookmobile is as convenient as possible for those individuals. In terms of who uses the bookmobile, we have a lot of individuals who reside in assisted living facilities. We have children, of course, from schools, but we also have other individuals such as homeless individuals and people who live in public housing who may not always have reliable transportation to get to the library. The number one thing I always want to tell people about the bookmobile is who uses it is perhaps the most important thing. The goal of the bookmobile is to bring, like we said, library services to individuals in need. The library is not just a privilege that we have as citizens of Largo. Having access to the library, its knowledge, its resources, and its materials is a right. People should have access to a library, and physical disabilities or financial hardships should not prevent them from accessing these resources we have. That is why I really, really am happy that we've reached the one-year anniversary for the bookmobile. We're hoping to celebrate it on Monday, January 13th from 2 to 4 o'clock. We're going to be celebrating it with all sorts of different activities and in front of the library. We're hoping to make it kind of like a nice, like almost like block party style event. We're going to do tours of the bookmobile. We're going to have photo ops. We're going to definitely have some contests and giveaways. You can't expect an outreach department to throw something without giving giveaways. It's the one thing we always do. And I hope that we can, through this event, showcase what we've accomplished, what we hope to accomplish, as well as really thank everyone who's played a part, whether they're a staff member, a donor, a volunteer, or even a patron that just uses the bookmobile or would like to use the bookmobile. In terms of what we hope to do for next year, the simple answer is just to do more. We hope to get more checkouts, more library cards, and really reach out to more organizations. We're hoping to reach more assisted living facilities, as well as get to possibly some homeless shelters and other places in the community that need access to library services. Overall, that's just what the bookmobile does, and I can talk to you so much more in person if you show up at the event. I hope to see you there, and I hope to see you around town.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Michael. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy el bibliotecario de compromiso con la comunidad aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. En este segmento les voy a hablar sobre un libro que tenemos en la colección en español que se titula Soñar bajo el agua por Libby Page. La sinopsis. Rosemary es una viuda de 86 años que ha vivido en el barrio de Brixton en Londres toda su vida. Allí ha visto cómo cerraba la biblioteca en la que trabajaba y cómo la frutería se convertía en un bar de moda. Cuando la piscina local, a la que acude desde que era niña, y en la que se enamoró de su marido, se ve amenazada también, Rosemary sabe que este puede ser el principio del fin. Kate es una joven reportera del periódico local, y desde que se muda a Londres se encuentra perdida en una ciudad que sigue demasiado grande y demasiado hostil. Pero cuando, con la ayuda de un encantador fotógrafo, Kate investiga un poco la historia de la piscina de Brixton, se da cuenta de que esta es la oportunidad que ha esperado, porque juntas Rosemary y Kate están dispuestas a resistir y a demostrar que la piscina no es solo un lugar para nadar, en el corazón de la comunidad, y harán lo que sea para protegerla. Opinión. Cuando elegí el libro, era consciente que no tenía nada que ver con los géneros que suelo leer. Las novelas de la vida cotidiana no son lo mío, y definitivamente, esta historia no es de esas que llamen la atención por su sinopsis. Sin embargo, quise probar algo distinto, y Soñar bajo el agua era una oportunidad para leer historias realistas, de las que nada tenían que ver con géneros románticos, así que decidí darle la oportunidad. Kate es una joven periodista que se ha mudado recientemente a Londres, una ciudad que le viene grande y en ocasiones se siente que la arrastra y la asfixia. Trabaja en un periódico local y día a día es consciente en sobrevivir, escribir artículos de importancia, alimentarse a base de comida precocinada y relacionarse lo mínimo posible con sus compañeros de trabajo. Esta situación cambia cuando en el periódico le ofrecen escribir un artículo sobre el cierre de la piscina municipal. El ayuntamiento ha recibido una jugosa oferta por parte de la empresa Paradise Living, que quiere construir en ella un complejo deportivo de lujo para los nuevos pisos que le van a levantar en Brixton. Rosemary, de 86 años, ha sido la que ha repartido folletos informativos acerca del cierre, pues no quiere que este lugar tan importante para la comunidad y para ella desaparezca. Así que Kate se pone manos a la obra, deseosa de escribir sobre algo que no sean perros y gatos desaparecidos. De esta forma, y sin saberlo, la vida de estas dos mujeres queda entrelazada, y Kate conseguirá encontrar por primera vez gente a la que puede llamar amigos en Londres. La trama gira por entero alrededor de la piscina de Brockwell. Es más, la piscina en realidad se podría considerar la verdadera protagonista. La novela está dividida en dos voces. Por un lado tenemos el punto de vista de Kate y por otro el de Rosemary, aunque a veces se mezclan. La piscina lleva toda la vida acompañando a Rosemary. Allí conoció a su esposo George y debido a su inminente cierre, recorremos junto a ella y sus recuerdos el bonito amor que disfrutan. La anciana tiene miedo de que si desaparece la piscina, desaparezca gran parte de su historia. Por eso, en un intento desesperado, decide realizar unos folletos y repartirlos para avisar del peligro que corre el lugar. No obstante, no será hasta que conozca a Kate que empezará a darse cuenta de que quizás existe alguna posibilidad de salvarla. Por su parte, al conocer a Rosemary, Kate encontrará en ella una verdadera amiga y a un verdadero apoyo que terminará implicándose personalmente en el cierre de la piscina. Me parece que este libro nos da una lección muy valiosa, y es que no sabemos lo importante que es un lugar hasta que lo perdemos. Esto siempre se había aplicado a las personas, pero esta novela te hace reflexionar acerca de qué pasaría si un día ese sitio que para ti es tan cotidiano, casi como una segunda casa, desapareciera. Es una lectura un poco tierna, bastante entretenida y de superación personal. En realidad, la trama en sí no es la gran cosa. Los sentimientos que encierran detrás de lo que hace que soñar bajo el agua se destaque. Kate conseguirá combatir sus miedos y encontrará el agua fría de la piscina, en Rosemary y la comunidad de Brixton un gran apoyo. Gracias a ello podrá avanzar y salir de la vida inusa y asustada que ha estado llevando hasta ahora. Por su parte, Rosemary se dará cuenta de que nunca es demasiado viejo para luchar por lo que uno quiere y en lo que cree. Sin duda, lo que más me ha gustado ha sido cómo Rosemary relataba su bonita historia de amor con su fallecido esposo a través de los recuerdos que le revocaba ver el agua de la piscina a través de su balcón. Es una relación muy tierna y me parece una manera muy original de contarla. Algo negativo al respecto del libro es cómo se ha tratado la ansiedad, o el pánico como lo llama Kate. La impresión que da Paige a la hora de describir su estado mental y cómo éste se desarrolla es que solo hace falta conseguir amigos y sentirse aceptado para que desaparezca o se mitigue. Que en realidad escribir los artículos sobre la piscina y conocer a toda la gente implicada en él es un tema suficiente para que su pánico se mejore. Aunque no sé mucho de la ansiedad, me parece que es una manera un tanto inocente y simple de tratar un asunto que, a mi modo de ver, es bastante grave. Por último, el desenlace, aunque lo que espera el lector, es bastante bonito y emotivo. El escribir de la autora no es nada del otro mundo, pero sí es acorde con lo que quiere transmitir. En general, la novela está bien. Es todo por hoy, hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Adiós.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out the English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here are some upcoming library events to keep track of. February 3rd, All That Jazz at 1 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. February 3rd, Florida Talks, The African Roots of Southern Cooking at 6:30 p.m. in the Jenkins Wing. Registration is required. February 4th, Photo Memory Collages at 3 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. February 5th, Eastern European Research at 1 p.m. in the Local History Room. February 7th, I Spy Sensory Bag at 1 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. February 11th, Family STEAM Challenge at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. February 11th, African Zedza Batik at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. February 15th, English Language Learning Tutor Orientation and Training at 10 a.m. in Jenkins Room A. February 15th, Three Next Steps for Your DNA Test Results and the PGS Salute to Volunteers at 11 a.m. in Jenkins Room B. February 18th, What Country Do I Live in Today? At 1 p.m. in the Local History Room. February 19th, Painting with the Florida Highwaymen at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. February 20th, Paper Roses and Iris Frames at 10:30 a.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. February 24th, Mardi Gras Madness at 1 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. February 25th, Keep Largo Beautiful at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room B. February 26, Fundamentals of English and Welsh Family History at 10 a.m. in the local history room. Thanks everyone for listening. We hope you have a great month. Mistles. Mistles.
Mistles.
Mistles.